don't want to confuse months or else the recordings get all messed up. So Adar is a very unique month. Adar is the last month of the year. Again, we're starting from Nisan in our count, so Adar is the final month of the year, it's the 12th month. Which means, if we put it into the context we've discussed many times before, we're always looking at nature. And in nature, Adar is the furthest away that we get from the equinox, right? The solstice, the equinox, really. You know, we're trying to look at when exactly, it's the solstice, when exactly is it that the days become longer, nights become shorter? So that's usually in Chodesh Nisan. Adar, we've been ever since really, you know, the beginning, since the, I don't got my dates all wrong, ever since Teves or before that, you know, we've had longer nights and shorter days. And that slowly transitions throughout the winter as you hit the spring. But Adar is the furthest point. Adar is the point where you still have longer nights than days, but we're almost ready to transition over. That's Adar. Which means that on the one hand, Adar is a time of a lot of hope because, you know, spring is like right around the corner. And give us a few weeks, we're going to be having longer days and shorter nights. On the other hand, Adar is very, very distant from the last time we actually had longer days. That was a long time ago. I was distant from that. That was from the previous equinox, you know, that's going back into the fall. That was a long time before. So Adar is a month which is very, very distant from those, you know, great times of spring and summer. But yet, it's almost there. We're right around the corner. We've almost made it. And the weather today is, I guess, a proof to that. You know, the weather this week's a proof to that. But that's Adar. It's the last month where nature still remains dormant. You know, we still don't see blossoms outside. We still don't see fruits outside. Nature is still dead from the winter. But yet, you know, Tu B'Shvat has passed and Nisan's around the corner. We're almost there. We're almost ready to see the flowers of spring. The Chazal point out that Esther, when she went in to Achashverosh, so she said a kapitel Tehillim. It was a kapitel L'Matzeach Al Yolos HaShachar. I forgot which kapitel that is. Al Yolos HaShachar. 22? 22, thank you. So Al Yolos HaShachar refers to the very last moment right before the dawn. That's Yolos HaShachar. And Chazal say that Esther is a certain transition point. You know, Megillas Esther and Purim is a transition point between the moments of dark of the night to the light of the day. That's how Chazal portray it. Ayolos HaShachar is the very final moments right before dawn. So Adar is that same thing. Adar is those very final moments, you know, right before spring and Nisan arrive. Chodesh Aviv arrives, Adar is right before that. Just like in the Megillah, we find Narudash Nas HaMelech, that Achashverosh couldn't sleep, he woke up at night. So we kind of sense in Adar, the Melech is kind of arousing. You know, nature is kind of coming back to life. You know, the world's starting to perk up once again. So you find in the Megillah that everything seems to be asleep and dormant until Narudash Nas HaMelech, suddenly the Melech rises up. Chazal teach us that the word Melech in the Megillah has a dual meaning. It means Achashverosh, also means Akash Baruch Hu, as we'll discuss more as time goes on. So Hashem also kind of aroused himself in the Megillah. And so too, when it comes to Chodesh Adar, nature is kind of arousing itself. But yet, since it's so distant from Nisan, so the last month of the year, Adar still is a month of darkness. And I want to elaborate on that point a little bit tonight. You know, Nisan is always contrasted to Adar. Now, Nisan is the next month after Adar, but really Nisan is month 1, Adar is month 12. So there's 12 months apart, you know. The cycle begins again after Adar, but they're very distant from one another, Nisan and Adar. Nisan is a month of spring, of light, of the birth of Klal Yisrael, of hope, of Nisim. Nisan to us is our most positive month. That's Nisan. Klal Yisrael was created in Nisan. That's Rosh Chodashim. It's the first month of the year. Adar is 12 months away from Nisan. Adar, in a certain sense, is a very distant month where we are very far from the miracles. We're very far from the spring. On the one hand, looking forward, we're very close to the spring, but looking backwards, we're very far from the spring. Adar. So Adar is a month that stands for us as a month of Hester, of things which are hidden. Because it's a month which is very, very far away from the light of spring. It's the last month of the year. It's the month of darkness. Megillas Esther is the Sefer of Tanakh that deals with Hester Panim, with Hashem hiding his face. The name Esther relates to the word Hester, hiddenness, things which are concealed. And Chazal tell us that if you want to find a source for Esther in the Chumash, you find it in the Pasuk, Anochi Hastir Astir Panai. That Hashem says, I will hide my face away from you. And Megillas Esther is the time where Hashem is hidden. And I'm sure you've learned about it before, and we can elaborate much more. But Megillas Esther is the sefer of the hidden miracle. It's a miracle which you see absolutely nothing at all in the Megillah, which is miraculous. Zero. The Megillah is just everyday events. It's just like, you know, politics, ancient, you know, tyrants killing people and throwing parties. Nothing really seems miraculous. But it's an incredible miracle. But why is it? Because Hashem is hidden away. Hashem is hiding. Hashem is behester. But ultimately, it's a tremendous nace as well. Purim is an amazing nace. But it happened all behester. Hashem is hidden. So you're in the final month, very far away from the spring. It's a month where we're still in the darkness. Hashem is as Hanuchi Hastir Aster Pana. Hashem is hidden away. The book of Esther is about Esther, whose name means the hidden one. Idea of Esther and Astir and Hastir are all the same words. But yet, through Purim and through Adar, you see tremendous miracles happening through Hashem being concealed and through the darkness. As a matter of fact, if you look at the calendar, so the bookends of the calendar are Nisan and Adar. Nisan being number 1, Adar being number 12. So you have the whole calendar is marked off by Nisan. Nisan is Nisim, it's Pesach, the Gula of Klal Yisrael, it's Mitzrayim, and Adar is Nisan. So you know that if the beginning of the calendar is all about Nisim and Hashem's Hashkacha, and so is the end of the calendar, so it must be everything's about Hashkacha. We don't see it as clearly through the rest of the calendar, but if Hashem begins our year, ends our year, with miracles, so we know there are miracles happening all the time. That we for sure know, because the two bookends are supposed to be symbolic of everything happening in between. So Adar tells us is the last month full of miracles, that even though we don't see the miracles, Hashem's miracles are always there. In the first month, you have very, very clear miracles, which is Nisan. So it must be that we're living a life of miracles. Everything's about Hashkacha. The whole year through is about Hashkacha. Nisan, as the first month, though, is very different than Adar, because the first month is the month of open miracles. Nisan is the month of Yetzias Mitzrayim. Kriyas Yamsuf, we reflect upon the Makos. We enter into the Midbar, where we have the Man, and we have the Be'er, and it's an existence of open miracles. Nisan Geluyim. Adar is the exact opposite. Adar is an existence of hidden miracles. It's living through hidden miracles. It's living through a time where Hashem was hidden. But these are the 2 months which, for us, are our biggest geulas. They're our most joyous months. They stand in our minds as very different approach to Hashkacha. So Adar is the time you reflect upon Hashkacha Hashem, but in the Adar way, not in the Nisan way. The way you reflect upon it during Nisan is you say Hashem overturns nature. Hashem performs incredible miracles. Hashem comes into the world, intervenes, and saves Klal Yisrael, and He punishes the wicked and rewards the righteous. That's Nisan. In Adar, we say that Hashem runs the world even when we don't see Him. Even when times are very, very difficult, and things are very, very dark and unclear, Hashem is always there moving the pieces in order to bring the world to its purpose. That's the reflection of Adar. And it's interesting, because Adar being the last month, it stands as a month of the goal of the year, we'll call it, or the conclusion of the year. You can really view Adar as symbolic of the goal of history, because the whole year is heading towards Adar. And the goal of history will be reached by Hashem, even though we don't see it. Hashem will bring the world to its goal. We will get there. We don't see how we're getting there. And most of history is a time of Hester Panim, where Hashem is hidden. We don't know how Hashem is guiding the world to get to His goals. But Adar shows us that, no, Hashem does reach His goals. If Hashem has a goal, even though you don't know how He's doing it, you don't see a single miracle in front of your face, Hashem is bringing us there, one way or the other. I like to look at Adar as a miniature model of all of Purim, as a miniature model of all history. How does history work? You know, Hashem made a world, and Hashem wants to bring a world to its perfection. We have a lot of roadblocks along the way, and we stumble, and we fall, and we take wrong turns, and we, you know, we go backwards, and, you know, we have problems. But Hashem's world has a vision, it has a goal, and it will reach the goal. There's no way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu can make a world that doesn't reach his goal. He's HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he's perfect. We just don't always see how he's bringing us towards the goal. We miss that sometimes. So Nisan is the month where Hashem says, here I am, I have a purpose, I have a goal, I'm in charge. That's Nisan. But Adar tells us that there's a role of Hashkacha in this world which is happening constantly, far beyond what happened during Nisan. We usually don't see the miracles that we saw in Nisan. The miracles of Yetzias Mitzrayim are not common at all. So how does Hashem run the world the rest of history? Meaning, after Yetzias Mitzrayim, after Matan Torah, like, where do you find the Hashkacha? And the answer is, it's through hidden miracles. It's through Hashem guiding the world day in and day out through his hidden miracles. So Nisan begins the year, begins history with the Aras Panim, with Hashem revealing himself and being very, very clear about his purpose and his mission, and telling us the world will reach its purpose. But from that, you learn to recognize that there are hidden miracles out there happening daily. There's a very famous quote from the Ramban. The Ramban says, you know, from the Nisim Geluyim, from the open miracles, you learn to recognize hidden miracles as well. If there was never a Pesach, we wouldn't know to even look for Hashem. We wouldn't know what Hashem does. We would know nothing. So Hashem reveals himself on Pesach and tells us, here I am, this is what I do, this is how I run the world, I have purpose, I have goal, I have mission. But now we know, okay, if that's the case, there are hidden miracles happening all the time. And we have to just train ourselves to see them. But the Ashkacha, the rest of history, is really Hashem's hidden miracles guiding us day by day, month by month, year by year, bringing us to a certain tachlis. And we don't see how it's functioning, but it does. The a beautiful mashal I like to use for this is based on a pasuk in Shir HaShirim. It says in Shir HaShirim, Hineza Omen Achar Koslenu, it says that he's standing behind our wall, Mashkiach Min HaChalonos, he is watching through the windows, Metzim HaCharakim, he is peeking through the cracks. So Shir HaShirim is a mashal to Hashem and Klal Yisrael. It's talking about Hashem. So Hashem is standing behind the wall, watching through the windows, peeking through the cracks. So what's the mashal? So the mashal is, you know, picture a 5-year-old kid playing in the backyard. And the kid's a little bit nervous, you know, he's a young kid, doesn't like being outside by himself. So the mother's watching the kid through the window. So the mother sometimes will watch through the window, and sometimes will kind of like, you know, peek through the shades, peek through the crack. So what's the difference? The big difference is when the mother watches the window, the mother sees the kid, and the kid looks back and sees the mother. He feels very, very comfortable. He feels very, very protected and cared for. When the mother peeks through the cracks, so the mother still sees the kid, but the kid can't see the mother anymore. The kid doesn't know the mother's watching him. And that's Hashem's Hashkacha. Hashkacha comes in two ways. There's sometimes Hashem's Mashkiach Min Chalonos. Hashem sometimes is watching us through the windows. So he sees us, and we see him. He protects us, and we know it. He guides us, and we know it. Sometimes Hashem peeks through the cracks, that he's still watching us and still protecting us, but we don't see it ourselves. That's Hester Panim versus Gilui Panim. Gilui Panim is where HaKadosh Baruch Hu is very, very clear. He's there at the window. We look back and we wave. He waves at us. You know, it's very, very clear. When we had our heyday in Eretz Yisrael, and there were Nisan happening all the time, we were in Yisus Mitzrayim. Certain time in history, we had Gilui Panim. And we saw Hashem. He saw us. And it was very, very clear that Hashem was guiding us, helping us, protecting us, bringing us to a tachlis. But most of history wasn't that way. Most of history is Hester Panim. And that means that Hashem is watching through the cracks. He sees us 100%, and his plan remains the same. His Hashkacha remains the same. But the problem is we don't see him anymore. So we get nervous, because we're like that kid in the yard. And if we don't see our mother, we get very, very nervous. That's the Hashkacha of Hester Panim. It's all the same Hashkacha. Hashem's goals don't change, and Hashem's power doesn't change. It's always there. That doesn't change. What does change is our ability to perceive a Kodesh Baruch. That's what changes. So we're in a time in history right now where we don't see Hashem all the time. It doesn't mean Hashem's not watching us and not guiding us. He certainly is. We just don't see it. Megillas Esther is the paradigm of this. Megillas Esther, Klal Yisrael was standing there in Shushan. And if you could picture yourself in Shushan, as far as you knew, no miracles were occurring. You were dead. You know, that was it. You know, life was over for all of Klal Yisrael. That's all we saw. We saw Haman with the king's ring on his finger. He had all the power in the whole empire, and we were helpless. What were we supposed to do? There was no miracles occurring. And Mordechai, who was our leader, it was his fault that we were in this big mess from what we saw. And from our perspective, Haman hated Mordechai, and that's why we were all going to be killed. We can't look to Mordechai for help. You know, what are we supposed to do? So we were helpless. But Hashem was there peeking through the cracks, and Hashem said, no, this is all Hester Panim. I'm going to save you. You're going to make it out just fine. It's just that you don't see me right now. You don't see my Hashkacha. But if you just stick around, you realize the Hashkacha is there. So Hashem is hiding his face, but he's still doing the same exact job as he would have been in Pesach, you know, when the miracles were open miracles. You know, history, of course, has mostly been Hester Panim. But you know, Ani Hashem Lushanisi, Hashem doesn't change. And we have to recognize that the same Hashkacha that we had in Yitzhak Mitzrayim is still there every single day. It is harder for us to see. So this is Nisan versus Adar. Nisan is where you see the Hashgacha clearly. Adar is where it's hidden. They actually find in the names of the month. The word Nisan itself is a Lashon of Nes. Right, we mentioned how the months were actually, you know, seem to be Babylonian or Persian names. But yet, the fact Chazal deemed these to be fit for our months, they mean something. So Nisan is a Lashon of Nes. It's a month of miracles. That's what it is, open miracles. The word Adar relates to the word Adaris. And Adaris is a cloak. A cloak, you know, when somebody is cloaked, it's hidden. You know, you're hiding behind your clothing. That's the word Adaris, Adar. So Adar is the month of that which is hidden, like a cloak hides things away. And Nisan is the month of that which is revealed. It's the Nisan of miracles. The Hester Panim, to us, on some level, is actually, I don't know, more miraculous than Gili Panim. Let's just talk about that for a second. When you see a supernatural miracle, it's an amazing thing. You know, we're usually not zilcha to see these types of things. But there it's clear, okay, we know how it's done, as it were. You know, Hashem can do what he wants. He comes in, and he makes it happen. So we're at the Yam Suf, and we're stuck, and the mitzvah are behind us, and the sea's in front of us, and it splits, we go through. So it's an incredible supernatural feat. But it's, you know, but then we can explain what happened. You know, there's a very powerful God, and he comes in, and he splits it, and we go. Hester Panim is very confusing for us. Because Hester Panim means that we don't see Kriyas Yam Suf. We don't see anything supernatural. We have Bechira in making decisions and going about our daily lives, and somehow Hashem is bringing us where we're supposed to go. And that's very clear how that works. The famous questions of Bechira versus Hashgacha, how do you juggle the idea of free choice with Hashem's Hashgacha? It's a question we can't really answer. And we don't know how it works, because you think about it, Haman had Bechira, and Achshverosh had Bechira, and Mordechai had Bechira, and Bigson and Sarah, they all had Bechira in the story, but all pieces just fell into the right place, and the miracle happened. Vashti had Bechira too. They all had Bechira. So they all made choices. You know, we don't say that Hashem came in and forced Vashti to make her decision, and Hashem didn't force Haman to make his decision, and Hashem didn't force us to make her decisions. No one was forced. But yet at the end, every single piece was perfectly aligned to make a miracle. How'd that work? We have no idea. And that's something that the human mind can't even really figure out. Assuming that we have Hashgacha, which is a principle of Yiddishkeit. So, to us, in a certain sense, a Nes Nister is much more mysterious and, in a way, more miraculous than an open miracle. It really is. And that's the month of Adar, and that's most of history. Nes and Nistarim work within our lives, within our Bechira, and still bring us where we have to go. So we talk about every day Hashem guides us and helps us in life to go in proper direction. That's what we're talking about. We're saying that I'm making my normal decisions. I'm living life and every day, normal, daily grinds, you know, doing what I'm supposed to do. And somehow through that, Hashem puts me in the right place and guides me. But how did he do that? Because I'm just making my own decisions. But Hashem somehow still guides us. And that's something, again, which we can't really answer with our human minds, so we'll understand how it works. But that's the concept of Nes Nister. And that's the Purim story. The Purim story is just the model of this. The Purim story is the model that even though you think you're just living daily life, Hashem is always taking you to the right place. Because, again, in the Purim story, nobody in that story thought they were doing anything miraculous. And nobody in that story saw anything miraculous. Nobody in the story felt Hashem's Hashgacha in any way. Until the end. The only person who really recognized it was Mordechai. Mordechai told Esther, "Imachareish tachareishi ve'is kazos." If you remain silent and don't step up and plead for the life of the Jews with Achashverosh, Jews will be saved one way or the other. No, I'm not worried about the Jews. Right? You, Esther, this is your chance. Now, you are the one Hashem has deemed as the individual to save Klal Yisrael. This is your day in the limelight. Take advantage of it and save Klal Yisrael. If you don't do it, they'll be saved anyways. Because Mordechai understood Hashgacha is going to play out. Klal Yisrael cannot be destroyed. It's a guarantee that we have. But he said, Esther, this is your job. Obviously, Hashem put you in a position that you can be the person to create the Nes. So Mordechai saw that it's all Hashgacha, but yet he didn't know how it would happen. Again, he didn't see any Nisim Gibulim occurring. But that was the concept. That pasuk, Imacharish Tacharishi, I think it's also very important to contrast to what you see at Kriyas Yam Suf. At Kriyas Yam Suf, you have the exact opposite pasuk, right? All the Jews are at the Yam Suf. And Hashem tells them, or Moshe Rabbeinu tells them, Hashem says, you know, stop davening and just move on. And Moshe Rabbeinu says, Hashem yilachim lachem, Hashem will fight for you, v'atem tacharishut, and you should be silent. So don't worry about it. Stop davening. Remain silent. Remain passive, and Hashem will just come in and swoop down and save you. That was Kriyas Yamsuf. In the Megillah, Mordechai says the opposite. Imacharish tacharishi. If you're silent, then you're not doing your job. That's what he tells Esther. You can't be silent. You have to act. You have to go to Achashverosh and plead. You have to do it. So it's funny. There's a stira. I mean, Moshe Rabbeinu said tacharishun, and Mordechai says, don't tacharishun. He says, don't be silent. What's the difference? And I think the difference is very simple. When you're living in a time of gilui panim, and you see a simpreshkacha, then you realize it's not up to me. It's up to Hashem. And Hashem is going to pull through regardless of our actions. When you're in a time of hester panim, so then it's up to us to make the right moves, Hashem will make them succeed. But we don't see Hashem there moving the pieces. You don't see Hashem, so it's up to us to move the pieces, as it were. But Hashem will make sure that we are able to be successful at the end. So at the Yam Suf, Hashem was there to make a display of Gilui Panim. He was supposed to show us His miracles above nature. He says, be silent, just sit back and watch, and Hashem is going to take care of everything. In the life that we live right now, if Esther Panim, Gilus Esther, Hester Panim, we can't do that. Because Hashem is not acting right now with the Hashkacha of open miracles. Hashem's Hagar right now is not Gilui Panim, it's Hester Panim, which means that the human being has to act. The human being has to put forth his or her efforts to make things happen. And we make those decisions, Hashem will make sure they go in the right direction. That's how it works nowadays. So I have this one handout today I want to look at together about the contrast of Adar versus Nisan. Press those around. This is the B'nai Sassar once again, which again is a very famous Hasidisha Sefer. It talks about the months of the year. And he has a very interesting piece contrasting Adar with Nisan and what they stand for. So I marked it off here. It's paragraph Ches. And he starts quoting from the Gemara. There's a Gemara in Maseches Beitza. It says, "B'Gemara harotzesh yiskaimu nechasav yita behen Adar." The Gemara is a very funny statement. The Gemara says that if you want your property to succeed, plant in them in Adar. Plant your property in Adar. Shenemar, Adar Marom Hashem. Adkan. The pasuk says, Adar Marom Hashem, Hashem is mighty in the heavens. So what does that mean? A very strange Gemara. So the simple pshat in the Gemara, the way that it's explained on a very simple level, is that Adar is actually a type of very mighty tree. And the Gemara is saying that this tree called an Adar is very good to have on your property. It helps your property succeed. That's a simple pshat in the Gemara. But you can't ignore the fact that this tree happens to be called an Adar. And obviously there's something deeper here, something more symbolic. You know, the Gemara screams out at us, you know, understand me on a deeper level. What does it mean? So he says, so if you look at this Gemara, you're astonished, and you understand that Chazal's words are very, very powerful hints of wisdom. There's something much deeper over here. So we'll explain it in short. In Nisan, which says the month of Nisan, of open miracles, Hashem revealed His open miracles to the world. And Hashem revealed to all that He is able to overpower and overturn all of the different systems of nature and the stars and their pathways. He can overturn nature. But Hashem's guiding of nature, how He guides in His will, through Ashkacha, every single detail of the world, the Kol B'Ashkacha Nifla, with incredible Ashkacha, was Ames Adayim Chol Boi Olam. That wasn't so clear from Nisan. Unless you're someone who's a scholar of Torah who sees it. Vayusovrim Shashem Yisbarach Masar Olama L'Tiviyim Hema Kochavim Mazalos. Vayaram Misnaheges Hanhaga Ativiyas Kefi Shvitas Hamzalos L'Chol Zman. So one is able to think, even if you understand the miracles of Nisan, you can say, well, when Hashem comes in and makes open miracles, he's then, at that point, guiding the world. But when no miracles are happening, who says? Maybe the world is left up to nature. maybe the world's left up to cause and effect, and that's it. Hashem only steps in for special occasions, when he comes in and does all these fancy shows of thunder and lightning and splitting of seas. But on a regular, everyday life, who says Hashem is guiding the world? Now, who says? And from just learning about Pesach, you could think that. There's no reason to think Hashem is involved in daily life, even though he's involved in open miracles. Who says he's involved in regular, everyday humdrum of normal living? So you would think that Hashem runs the world just through the systems of nature. Unless he wants to come in and overturn the systems through miracles. But yet, and there he's actually alluding to Pasuk in the Megillah, but he says, when the time comes for the Jews to experience the miracles of Adar, the Nes was totally natural. There was no overturning of any natural system in Adar, nothing. Everything was totally, totally everyday, normal, boring. So through that, it was made known to all people of the world, that Hashem's hand made these miracles. In the Megillah, at the end of the story, you find that all of the Goyim were Misyahadim. They wanted to become Jewish because they saw the greatness of Hashem and of Mordechai. Meaning the whole Persian Empire realized the great miracles transpired. In a matter of 3 days, Haman went from the top of the world to hanging on the gallows. The Jews went from being slated for destruction to being the most respected people amongst the entire land. It's a matter of 3 days. Now, the whole story really happened in 3 days. You miss it sometimes when you read the Psukim. The Megillah begins in the 3rd year of Achashverosh. That's when he kills Vashti. Esther's chosen in the 5th year. Haman doesn't rise to power and doesn't request to kill the Jews till the 12th year of Achashverosh's reign. And there's 3 days of fasting, and then Haman was killed. That was it, you know? So the whole story happened in a matter of 3 days, and Haman went from the top of the world to dead in 3 days. So the Goyim in the Persian Empire were very, very astute, and they noticed something here really miraculous just transpired. The fact that Esther was in the palace, the fact that Haman was killed, the fact that Jews now are able to fight back, that was miraculous. Everyone noticed that. But it didn't happen through anything supernatural. It was all totally, totally natural. Then he says, "Mastapik shum ben adam." No human being had any doubts. Lomar shaya inyan azem b'mikra. Nobody ever thought it was just a coincidence. Bezula hashkacha mashgiach. Everyone was very, very certain that it came through hashkacha. Azai az nisvada l'kol. So at that point is made known to all. Shigam hanhagas hateva hu hakol b'hashkacha nifla me'es hamashgiach baruch. They knew that even teva, even nature, even natural everyday living, is all guided through Hashem's Hashkacha. Mimela kol iske olam chonyanav shikone ha'adam usher nechassim ha'kol yishkacha v'shkiach. So now he comes back to that Gemara. The Gemara said, if you want to succeed in your assets, you want your properties to succeed, plant them in Adar. So on the symbolic level, it means plant in your mind the concept of Adar. What's the concept? The recognition that Hashem runs everyday life. So he says, once you understand Purim, and you understand Adar, you know that everything that you're involved in, and all property that you buy, it all comes through Hashem's Hashkacha. And you recognize that putting in extra efforts beyond that which is expected of you isn't going to change your parnasa. And a person should never say, it was my koach and my strength that made me this fortune. Rak yeda im levavo ki Hashem yisbarach ha-mashkiach. You should know that Hashem is the one who guides your parnasa and your property. B'chol yachol hu anosin l'koach l'aschayel. Hashem has all the ability. Hagam sh'mishtadol adam b'teva b'mischa. Even though we're supposed to have ishtadlis and we should be involved in business. And rukar for parnasa, masu matin. Hashkach chaso yisbarach shmo haya binyanu yateva hu v'itin l'koach v'omit. It's Hashem's hashkacha that gives you the ability and the strength to actually make money. So he's saying that the recognition of Adar goes into daily living. To realize that, okay, so I go off to work to make a parnasa, well, where's that coming from? So without Adar, I think, well, when Hashem wants to come in and split a sea, he can do it. But when I go to work and I make money and I come home and I pay the bills, well, that's me, that's not Hashem. But Adar tells us, no, that Hashem is involved in every detail of daily life. Every single step of the way. Hashem is always there guiding us, making us succeed, and bringing us to the proper to the goal in life where we're supposed to go. So if you want your properties to succeed, you have to have the proper understanding of how things work. Things work through Hashgacha. That's how life works. That's how daily life is guided by Kodesh Baruch Hu. And he says, "Kinin shinira be'aliyo," like we see clearly in the Nes of Chodesh Adar Shehem Teva, which is natural. In Kolze Yikiru V'yadu Kol Bayolam, even though it's totally natural, all the people of the world recognized Shub Hashgacha Nifla, that there was an incredible Hashgacha. Vim Yomar Adam Kochilz Niyadi also is Chayil Azev. A person dares to say that it was my own power that made me this fortune. He enables Kaim Nechasev, then his property will not endure, because you're missing the point. So Adar tells you that your own success is not in your hands, in Hashem's hands. And if we make the mistake to think that our success is because of ourselves, at that point Hashem says, well, you think you're succeeding, or I'm going to take away your property, and you're going to see it's not you, it's me. Chas v'shalom. But that's like the Midakagamita response, that you think that you're doing it, I'll show you it's not up to you, it's up to me. But if you want to succeed, recognize it's from Hashem, and Hashem will make it go very easy and help you succeed. V'zeu sheromzu chazal, this is what chazal are giving us as a remez in this Gemara. Harotzeh sheiskaimu nechasav yitav ben Adar. If you want your properties to succeed, plant in them in Adar. Hainu yiska behen inyan hanirtzeh b'Adar. You should plant firmly in your property the concept of Adar. Shein nes muflog b'teva, that Adar is a month where you have an incredible, incredible nes. That's totally natural. Lisvado lisgalo shakol b'ashkacha nifla gam kol anyanim banase b'teva. That all comes through Hashkacha, even those things that are totally normal and natural. So, in a certain sense, you know, Purim doesn't make Adar. Adar makes Purim. Because being that Adar is the last month of the year and the furthest from Pesach, it's the furthest from Hashem's open miracles. But if you're in a time that's very far from open miracles, so that means that you're going to be able to be privy to the hidden miracles. Because Hashem is going to have miracles one or the other. Hashem runs the world regardless. Which way are you going to see it? Well, it depends where you're living and where you are in the year. So our first approach to Adar, we'll start with this, and we'll go further into it in the next few weeks, Mirtz Hashem. But the very first approach to Adar is the ability to see the idea of a Nes Nister, that Hashem runs the world in natural, hidden ways, constantly, no matter what. And to know that Hashgacha is always functioning through the Hester, through the concealment, and we're still being led. Mitzim and Charakim, Hashem peers through the cracks sometimes, and we don't see Him, but He still sees us. And this is the concept of Chodesh Adar. So again, we're still in a month where there is darkness, and nights are longer than days, we're very far from the flowers of Nisan, etc. And equinox is a long time before. But Hashem's Hashgacha is as powerful as ever, it's just coming in a hidden way. So when we get to the point, Mishnas Adar Marban B'Simcha, right? That's really the excitement of Chodesh Adar beginning, is the Marban B'Simcha. So where's the Simcha coming from? So a lot of answers to that question, there's a lot of approaches to Simcha and Adar, but I think one of the main concepts to reflect upon is that one of the most basic ideas of Simcha is when we feel that we are cared for, we feel that we are supported, we feel that we are going in the right direction, we feel happy. If we feel confused, we feel abandoned, we feel left alone, left to the wolves, then we feel distressed, we feel sad, we feel depressed. When we feel content because somebody cares for us, somebody's looking out for us, we feel very happy. So Adar to us is the recognition that even when we don't see it, Hashem cares for us. Hashem is there for us. Hashem is always there, guiding us, speaking through the cracks. You know, if that kid knows his mother's watching him, he feels very, very happy. If he can't see his mother, he feels very, very nervous. So we have to know that our mother, our father, is watching us in heaven, because Baruch Hu is always watching us, and he's peeking through the crack, and we don't see him. If we look back, he's really there watching us. And the Simcha of Adar is, if you understand that, you know that every single day you wake up, Hashem is there for you to guide you, to take care of your life, then that's an incredible Simcha, because I have nothing to worry about. You know, I'm taken care of, I'm supported, I'm guided, you know, everything should go fine. And therefore I feel a sense of Simcha. If I don't feel that, then I feel distressed. So Adar is the time of Simcha, so the basic reason usually is because of the miracle of Purim. But the deeper reason is because Adar is the month that we understand, no matter what we're doing and where we're going and how normal and natural life looks, it's all under Hashem's incredible care and Hashgacha. Well,